Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have all of you with us this morning. If you're a visitor or a guest, we're especially glad you're here and hope you feel welcome. At this time, I'd encourage you to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. If you have any questions about our church or would like to get the chance to know us better and give you the chance to ask questions of us, members and visitors alike, I'd encourage you to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. You can sign them and pass them to your neighbor so you can greet one another by name during the peace or after worship. At this point, I draw your attention to the announcements, which are on the inside cover of your bulletin, and the schedule of events near the back. I would open it up to you all if there are any announcements that you would like to make for the benefit of the church. The few I'd like to oh, yes.
Excuse my bragging, but I'm bragging on a big job in San Antonio as a meteorologist on station KSAP.
Well, thanks, Sue. We'll be sure to celebrate with you. Yes, Jean. Thanks, Jean. Are there others? I draw your attention to one announcement. Our first Wednesday fellowship dinner will be next Wednesday, May 3rd. Please be sure to RSVP and sign up in the church office. It remains Easter, and we celebrate that all God has done for us and is doing for us in Jesus Christ. And so, with joy and expectation, let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory.
The Lord has made known his victory.
He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Now let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, strength of those who believe, hope of those who doubt, light of those who see, may we who have not seen find faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear. Bound by the ways that lead to death, we overlook the poor and the hungry and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Come on down, Andrew. How are you all this morning?
Good.
Now, I know you all were here last week. Do you remember what last week was at church? That's right. Do you know what this week is at church? It's still Easter. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We get to have Easter for several Sundays.
No,
can you remind me what Easter is about? What are we celebrating? That's right, when Jesus rises from the dead. Now, do you remember any stories from Sunday school or from church that talk about that? What happens? So Jesus rises from the dead. What happens next? Do you know? No, that was before.
He rises up to heaven.
He goes up to heaven. That's right. That happens in a little while. Today we're going to hear a story about when he visits his disciples. Do you remember his disciples? Do you remember any of their names? You remember, there's one called Andrew. Isn't that great? And Peter and James and John and all the others. And he appears to them and he says, hello. But there's one disciple named Thomas. Do you know anyone named Thomas? No. But there's a disciple named Thomas and he doesn't believe that Jesus has come back. So what happens next, do you think?
We saw eggs.
We saw eggs for Easter. That's great. Maybe the disciples, maybe if they had been in the Easter spirit with eggs, they might have believed a little bit faster. Who knows? So they go, and so Jesus finally appears to Thomas. So then do you think Thomas believes him?
No.
That he's back? Yes, he does. Sometimes it's confusing for the disciples because they've had this terrible thing happen. They think that they've lost Jesus, but all of a sudden Jesus has come back and continues to work with them and speak with them and pray with them and teach them all the things about God. And so that's why we celebrate Easter for more than just one Sunday. We celebrate it for several Sundays and until Jesus rises back up into heaven. So thank you for helping tell this important story, and we can continue to talk about it next week too. Will you have a prayer with me? And repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus, for coming back to us, and for teaching us about God. Help us to believe and so follow Jesus and love other people. We pray in His name. Amen. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Jesus has been raised and now appears to the disciples. The Gospel of John, hear the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through him, through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. By your Spirit, unlock the doors of our hearts and remain with us always. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. I always think, poor Thomas, the Sunday after Easter. We always tell this story, this moment in his life when he expresses doubt and is humiliated, or humbled at least, in the presence of the risen Jesus. The most public mistake he ever made, and now it's all we remember him for. Ever since Thomas expressed his skepticism, the church has used this story as a kind of object lesson about belief. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen yet come to believe. Were we to write Thomas's obituary, the moniker doubting would probably find its way into the headline. So what else do we know about Thomas? He appears in the other Gospels briefly as a part of a roll call of the disciples, and again like that in the Acts of the Apostles. The distance of history obscures most of his story. But there's a slightly more encouraging passage from the Gospel of John where Jesus heads to Jerusalem in full knowledge of what is about to happen to him and the danger that awaits him. And Thomas says, "Let us go there also that we might die with him." This is his only other line in the whole story. Beautiful and inspiring bravery, and it gets swallowed up in his doubt. Maybe we can be a bit more charitable and say it gets swallowed up by the appearance of Jesus, whose resurrection changes everything we know about him and his disciples. It is the one event through which we understand all the others. It gives us hindsight on the rest of the gospel, including the story of Thomas. The resurrection changes everything. Last week in John's story, we saw the details of resurrection. A stone rolled away, an empty tomb, folded grave clothes, and perplexed disciples. While Peter and John ran away from the resurrection scene, Mary Magdalene stayed long enough, just long enough, to lose her grief in the presence of the risen Jesus, who calls her by name and then appears in the flesh. She then runs off and tells the other disciples, grief turned to mission just like that because of Jesus' resurrection. Some disciples are already believing at this point. Some are excited. Some are still afraid of what's going on since they're meeting behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, John says. All of a sudden, Jesus appears. He appears behind that locked door. He greets them with peace, gives them some wisdom, imparts his spirit to them so they can carry out his mission. So right after this is when we meet Thomas. Thomas is not present at this initial gathering and might be skeptical about the bodily resurrection of Jesus, since according to the disciples' own tale, he seems to appear out of nothing in their midst. I think I would be on Thomas's side too, a little skeptical about things. He probably thinks they're all being emotional and irrational, that this just doesn't make sense, that the disciples are hysterical after the past week and they have lost their minds. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. The passing week seems to validate Thomas's skepticism. No one has seen Jesus for 7 days. The disciples gather together again behind a shut but not a locked door. Something has changed for them. They're with Thomas this time too. And that's when Jesus appears again in the midst of his disciples, greets them, and then turns to Thomas, calling him out in front of everyone, and says, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas replies in the only way that he can. And the story doesn't say whether he takes Jesus up on this offer. It doesn't depict a close inspection of Jesus' wounds like so many paintings do. There are no follow-up questions. Thomas replies with a confession, "My Lord and my God." Everything looks different in light of Jesus' resurrection, and so does everything that follows. So that's what we know about Thomas. He doubts, he believes. The one thing that made a difference for him, the one thing that validated all his past suffering and embarrassment, the one thing that gave him hope for the future, the one thing in the balance of it all that actually mattered was the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus was raised, he believed. Because Jesus was raised, the disciples came out from behind their locked doors and started acting like the people Jesus had called them to be. The resurrection changes everything. So we know what happens in the rest of the story. Jesus ascends into heaven after 40 days. After the 50 days, the disciples are gathered once again and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from above like fire from heaven. And all of a sudden, the things that Jesus could do in his life, the profound teaching, the compassionate healing, the powerful exorcisms, all of a sudden, these doubting, bumbling disciples can do all of this too. This is why the evangelist Luke writes a sequel to his gospel called the Acts of the Apostles, because God was continuing to work in a powerful way that just happened to be through these disciples that Jesus had called to be a church. And there are a number of other books from this time that didn't make it into the Bible but contribute to just this general theme. While Luke tells a story about the early church and then the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, other writers wrote books to imagine what the other disciples did, the other apostles. And so we're confident that Mark of gospel fame went to Egypt and started a church, and that's where the Coptic Christians come from. And James stayed in Jerusalem to lead the church there. And Peter was in Jerusalem, and then he traveled and made it eventually to Rome. And Bartholomew, we think, went out east and planted the church in Armenia. And John went to Ephesus and built an important Christian community there. All these stories get told one way or another. And then there's actually a book that picks up some of the stories about Thomas. It's called the Acts of Thomas. So Thomas, it is said, went to the near eastern city of Edessa and then some years later traveled all the way to India. He is actually the patron saint of India. So he went a long way for someone who is best known for doubt. The story goes something like this. Representatives from the Indian king Gudnafar came to Jerusalem one day looking for artisans who would help him build a palace. Thomas, it was said, was a carpenter by trade, just like Jesus. So he took the call and collected a group of people to journey with him across half the known world to northern India and to build this palace. And then when Thomas got there, however, he promptly forgot about the building, gave the money for the project to the poor, did miracles and preached the gospel, and this got him into trouble, so he traveled and ran away and went throughout the land of India, eventually ending up in Madras, where he was martyred by an angry king whose wife Thomas had converted. So most of this is legend. The Acts of Thomas are not canonical and were probably written some 200 years after the events of the gospel and after Thomas. It's difficult to know what happens to all the apostles beyond the evidence we have for them in the existence of the churches they planted, which means, in some way, their work still continues. We think about this when we ordain pastors and when we ordain elders in our church. When we do the ancient custom of laying on of hands, it's the same way the disciples conferred the Holy Spirit on the church. It means when those hands are pressed down on you, it's not just the people you know who are gathered here, but it's Peter and James and John and Thomas too. Death is not the end of their story. The Thomas, we think, went to India some 20 years after the ascension of Jesus. He died maybe 20 years after that. So the gospel continued to spread through the ancient world, but it was primarily a European phenomenon, especially after the collapse of Rome. So after the fall of Rome, it took about 1,000 years for Europe to look beyond its own borders. I promise I'm almost done with this. And as Portuguese sailors finally made it to the east coast of India, they found Christians who had been there all along, all from a church planted by doubting Thomas, 1,500 years later, all because Jesus was raised. And resurrection changes everything. This is what John gets at the end of his gospel, or near the end where we are. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. On the one hand, we can imagine that Jesus continues to teach and care for his disciples until he leaves them in the ascension. On the other hand, we know that Jesus, by the gift of his Spirit, is working with them and is working with us too. The risen Jesus makes a difference in our lives today the same way that he did for the disciples like Thomas. But these stories are written, John says, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That Jesus is risen means that the end of our story is never what we think it is. The end of Thomas's story isn't his doubt. It is the presence of Jesus who enabled him to go beyond the edge of the earth and beyond his imagination into a life he could never have dreamed. That Jesus is risen means that that mistake or that flaw which we think characterizes our life does not matter one bit, weighed against this simple but powerful truth. Our lives are not seen through what's wrong with us. We are not doubting Thomas's. We are not whatever adjective might replace that word: failed, dumb, unemployed, strange, sad, angry, poor, sick. Because Jesus is risen, and the story of our lives is not finished. Jesus is risen means that stalled careers or lost jobs, broken faith or broken marriages, distant children or estranged family, diagnoses of disease or irreplaceable loss, none of these things can define you because Jesus is risen. And the resurrection changes everything. The scale of what is possible has become irrevocably altered. I think about this a lot having to do with churches. We have our struggles in churches, sure. Here in this congregation, we're smaller than we used to be, which makes us like most Presbyterian churches, or really like most mainline churches. Understandably, this creates a kind of fear, or maybe a doubt. It infects a lot of what churches do. I think the testimony of this congregation is that brokenness does not define us. Resurrection does. The resurrection changes everything. It means that what we think of as the last word never is. It means that when we leave a comfortable place, that we might find the work of Jesus greeting us somewhere unexpected. And for all our mainline complaints about the church writ large in this day and age, the fact remains that Christianity has exploded in the past 100 years. And while 90% of Christians once lived in Europe, now two-thirds of Christians live in the global south. We're just like those Portuguese sailors discovering the world in a new light because Jesus is risen, and now the world looks different. Sometimes the world may look dark or fearful or strange or sad. To us, it looks full of possibility because Jesus is risen, and everything looks different in light of that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In response to the God who has given so much to us, let us return to God our tithes and offerings, trusting that God can do with them more than we can imagine. Please be seated. Before we pray, are there any joys or concerns to share before the church this morning? Yes, Susan.
My we have a young cousin who's been diagnosed with brain cancer. She's in her late 30s and has three little children. And Tuesday, she finds out what her
diagnosis is. Hey, thank you, Susan. What's her name? Are there others? Let us join together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you surprise us with gifts that seem to appear as if from nowhere. What have we received from your hands? From you we have life, love, purpose, community, friendship, and vision for the world. We have a place in which to gather and hear your story. We have a world that you have prepared to receive it. For all this, for these gifts, for this place, for this great calling we share in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. We ask your blessing on what we return to you this day, that our gifts would contribute to the building of your kingdom as we await its completion in Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. God, in the season of new life, we marvel at the signs of your hand in creation. For the earth blooming into view, for your water which sustains and gives life and marks covenant promises. For the songs of birds that make creation sing, for mountains that tell the scope and grandeur of it all. Make us mindful of this great gift and responsible for its care. Help us to live as you have called us, to care for creation as its stewards, and to exercise dominion over it in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for all. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for places throughout creation in need of this service and care. For the children of our community who look for hope at Camp AIM. For students learning to read at Blue Ridge Elementary School. For our friends in the neighborhood around Joanne Lewis Park. For residents of Dalton Senior Housing. For all the places you have called us to serve. In the vision to see the way. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in our own families and communities, those in need of you, those who doubt this season, especially those who doubt your presence in their lives. For new grief, for new days without ones we love, and for the friends and family of Bill Maples as they mourn, give them and us your comfort and your peace. We pray for those who are sick, for Sally Wester, Ann Farrow, Dick Lowry. We pray your healing and your love. For Mary Alicia Little, as she anticipates her prognosis, we pray your comfort and your healing with her and her family. for those others we know and love and keep silent watch over in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers, God of grace, we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We remember his promise to be with his disciples wherever we go, and by his Spirit offer the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus has risen. Believe the good news of the gospel and trusting in that have life in his name. To go out into the world with that risen life. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.